Luke 24, starting at verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We praise you. We praise you. You are everything to us. Thank you for your anointing and your encouragement and your healing power. Thank you that you're doing an amazing work in our bodies and in our hearts and in our homes, Lord, and in this nation and in this church, Lord. Your will be done. Let us leave here excited, refreshed, and guided by you, following in your footsteps. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, God is good. Amen. So, you know, for a couple weeks now, we've been talking about these two travelers. So just a little background here. It's Easter Sunday evening, the very first Easter, Resurrection Sunday. We have two travelers. One is named Cleopas. We don't know the other guy's name, or female. We don't know the other name. But they have left Jerusalem brokenhearted, distraught beyond words, all their dreams crushed in that one day. Few days earlier, Jesus rolls into town with his disciples, and the crowds mass and say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, which means save now. And the disciples had to be super energized and excited, anticipating that Christ would come into Jerusalem, kick the Romans out, and restore Israel to its glory days of King David and King Solomon. Well, Jesus Christ, the Most High God, had different plans, and sometimes God has different plans than we have. Can I get a witness? So anyways, after a few short days, they see their rabbi, their teacher, their leader, their Messiah. They see him being crucified. And so they just get out of town, maybe out of fear of their lives, maybe just so disillusioned and so depressed and distraught about the 3 years that had fell like water between their hands. But no matter what, they're leaving, they're getting out of town, maybe going back to tent making, sheep herding, who knows? But their hearts are broken and they're leaving. But here's the beautiful thing. As they are leaving, Who picks up the pace to walk right beside them? Jesus Christ, the second man of the Trinity, is right there with them. They don't even recognize him. They don't even realize who he is, but they are walking with the risen Son of God. And he begins to encourage them, and their hearts are just shattered and broken. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? Can anybody relate to how these guys felt? Their hearts were crushed. They had all their hope in this guy, and then all of a sudden it all just fell apart. So they're walking out of town, but see, Jesus was right there with them. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. That is the beautiful truth of the matter, and that's our big takeaway. You know, no matter what you're going through, if you're a blood-bought Christian, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, yeah, you might be going through a crazy, crazy time that may look hopeless in the natural. But I'm telling you right now, God is with you, and he is your present help in this storm, and he will never leave you or forsake you. So let's get energized, let's get excited, and let's get ready to lay our burdens down at the feet of Jesus. Amen. We're getting close to Pentecost Sunday, and God wants to do some amazing things in this church and in you. So we want to be receptive. We want to be open to what the Lord wants to do in us. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Luke 24, verse 25. So Jesus kind of breaks his silence as these guys had told him everything that had happened to Jesus of Nazareth. And they're, like I said, they don't realize that they're talking to Jesus of Nazareth. He has disguised himself for some reason. Okay, there's a lot of speculation on why or how that happened. But this is what we're going to think about this morning. Jesus Christ did it. Okay, we believe it. And he has his reasons for doing it. But I know sometimes I can go through a trial and I can't even realize that Jesus is with me sometimes. Sometimes the weight of what I'm going through can be so stinking heavy or so severe that I will forget that I will never be alone. I might even get a little bitter and run away. Okay, and that's not what we're supposed to do. But look at the text right here. Jesus kind of gets kind of stern, loving but stern, with these two disciples whose hearts are broken. And he says, oh, foolish ones, what about the scriptures? What about the prophecies? What about what Jesus himself said to his disciples that these exact things were going to happen? Okay, and you can imagine these two disciples, what do you mean? What do you mean, what did the scriptures say? We saw our rabbi taken away. Our rabbi was crucified. All hope is lost, man. But see, as Jesus begins to minister or open up the scripture, listen, as Jesus begins to open up the scriptures to these guys, something begins to happen in their hearts. And we're going to see a little bit of that more later in our text. But there's some excitement. There's some encouragement that's beginning to well up inside them. So I want you guys to remember this. And this is for all of us. Okay, let's look at this verse right here, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. It should be on our next slide there, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. I know it's on your bulletin, but looky right there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what Jesus is telling these guys, man. Yeah, I know it looks hopeless. Believe me, I get it. I know it looks hopeless. I know it looks like your dreams are done, okay? No, that's not the case, though, because as Christians, okay, we trust. I look at your neighbor and say, as Christians, we trust. We trust. That's what we do. That's what faith is I'm trusting in God's promises, no matter what it looks like, no matter how expensive the gas gets, no matter how the newsman says this or the doctor says this. I belong to the great physician, amen, and I live by faith, not by sight. I live by trusting in God's promises. Remember, let God be true, right? Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay, so the easiest way that in my little pea brain way of thinking, I'm like, okay, if somebody says something and it is against God's word, or it's different than what God says, or if my own heart or my own mind or my own intellect is stirring something up that is different than what God says, then I better go with what God says. You know what I mean? He is the faithful one. He is the one that has a 100% proven track record of being faithful. So give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. We got to trust, okay? And sometimes fear weighs too much. Sometimes discouragement weighs too much. But when it gets that way, we got to magnify the Lord. We got to see the Lord for who he is. And as we see God for who he is, our problems have got to become smaller, no matter how severe they are. As Christians, Brother Donnie, as Christians, we don't lose. We don't lose. Everything doesn't always go exactly the way we want it to go. Can I get a witness? But we don't lose, man. Remember what the Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If we leave here tomorrow, you know, if something horrible and heinous happens to us and we leave tomorrow, hey, man, we're going to be just fine. Can I get a witness? Look at Mark 5 in verse 36, talking about trusting right now, talking about taking these promises that are throughout Scripture and standing on them. When all around me is sinking sand, I stand on God's promises. Can I get a witness? Now, before I read this verse right here, we got one of the rulers of the synagogue. This guy's name is Jairus. That's how I say his name. Jairus. I'm going to say Jairus. Well, Jairus comes to meet Jesus Christ. He had heard the stories about all the wonderful and amazing miracles that Jesus Christ was doing. And Jairus was in a real need, man. His little girl. Now, all you dads know how precious little girls are to you, right? How precious your little ones are to you. His little girl is at the brink of death, man. If a miracle does not happen, his little girl is going to die. So Jairus seeks out this Jesus, and he finds Jesus, and he pleads with him and begs him, hey, please, please, come back to my house. My daughter is about to die. And Jesus, being Jesus, said, okay, let's get going. So just like he was on a journey with these two disciples who were heartbroken, we see Jesus on this journey with this man, Jairus. And there's a lot of things that happened on the way. But what I want to point out is one of Jairus's, or some of Jairus's people show up and say, hey, man, don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother Jesus anymore, okay? Let him go about his day. Let him go about his business because your daughter is dead. In other words, Jairus, when you had to make the decision to come try and find Jesus, you should have just stayed at your daughter's bedside and just held her hand and be with her through those last minutes, because you missed out on all that to go on this wild goose chase, you know. But that wasn't the case at all. This is what Jesus says. And listen to me, okay? It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. You look at the world, you look at the doctors, you look at whatever, fill in the blank, man. I know it's all a mess out there, man. It's not hopeless, not to us, all right? Okay, look at Mark 5 and verse 36. This is Jesus. He overhears Jairus's people saying that, hey, Jairus, you missed it. Your little girl's dead. Mark 5 and verse 36. But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. And we know how that story works out, you know. Okay, listen, Jesus just said something very important to us right here in Northwest Florida. Don't fear. Don't fear. Fear is the enemy, man. Fear is going to lead you in the wrong direction. We don't fear. We trust. We have faith in God's promises. Amen? So as Jesus is breaking it down for these two heartbroken disciples, he's like, well, what about what was said about this Jesus of Nazareth? Okay, let's continue with Luke 24 and verse 26. It's right there on the monitor. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Well, that's a good point. If you look through Scripture, we have all these people that God had used in mighty ways. And so many times there was so much suffering before they got to that place of victory, or to that place of victory. But what Jesus is doing is he's breaking down the Scripture, starting at the very beginning in Genesis and going through all of the Old Testament and saying, see this right here? This is talking about Jesus. This is talking about how he had to suffer, how he had to go through these things. He's giving them hope by going through the Scriptures with them. Okay, when our hearts are heavy, like I said, when sometimes that fear or that sorrow, that pain just weighs too much, that agony of the absence of the voice or that loved one, you know, when it gets to you and it's so heavy, run into the arms of the Lord. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to understand everything he's allowed to happen, but we do need to believe he is who he said he is and believe in his promises. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Go ahead. Tell the truth, shame the devil, amen. Do you guys like my shirt? Yeah, it's pretty handsome. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Verse 27, and all the prophets he interpreted, and beginning with Moses, and all the prophets he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Man, what I love about this is it just speaks to me, you know, just right there in my heart, okay, that, listen, guys, we got to do life with Jesus. Let me just put it that way. We got to walk with Jesus, just like what Monica was talking about this morning. We got to, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We got to let him lead and guide and direct us. Can I get a witness this morning, guys? You know, we got to walk in his footsteps. We got to do life with Jesus. And as we get into the Word, as we get into the Scripture, which is Jesus, remember, Jesus is the Word made flesh. That's kind of hard to understand. Like I said, we don't have to understand it all. We just believe it is, he is who he says he is. But see, we got the Scripture man. And so when we get in that place of that brokenheartedness, man, let's let God begin to speak to us. Okay, get into the Word of God. I don't like to read. Listen to the preacher on Spotify. Listen to the Bible on the radio. Just get into the Word of God. We really don't have any excuse. And in a way, if we're saying, if I don't want to read His Word, if I don't want to get into His manual for life, I'm kind of saying, I'm just going to do it on my own. You know, no, we can't, man. We need this. This is why God has given us the Word. Can I get a witness? Okay, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so, you know, I like to think a little bit, and Rachel Jean says don't do that too much. That's a little dangerous for me. But Jesus starts with Moses, so probably right there in Genesis, you know, because Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and we definitely have... In Genesis, we definitely have some prophecies about the Messiah, and it goes all through the Old Testament. But imagine him opening up Isaiah, or talking about Isaiah to these two brokenhearted apostles, these two brokenhearted disciples, and he says, "Yeah, it does say in Isaiah 9. Yeah, well, they didn't do the chapters and stuff back then, I don't believe. It does say in Isaiah that the government will be upon his shoulders. Yes, that's in there." But it also says this in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And all of a sudden, as Jesus was going over these scriptures, they begin to have new life or new meaning that they never quite saw before. Can I get a witness? Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. Huh? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Don't you think as Jesus went over these Old Testament prophecies that they begin to shed a new light on what had just happened in Jerusalem in the days past, you know, and how that discouragement and despair and hopelessness begin to be turn into a fire of joy, a fire of excitement? Hey, God does keep his word. God keeps his word. Something's going on here. Hey, Cleopas, something's going on here. We got to trust. We got to trust, man, when all around us is sinking sand. And I don't think we've ever lived in a time when, I mean, it's just in my own lifetime, I've never seen the enemy so out in the open, so bold, and talking down to people. And there's just so much evilness that has been let loose, not just across America, but throughout the world, you know, throughout the whole kit and caboodle, you know. But see, here we are, okay, God's made some promises, and God's promises are going to get me through this, okay. So look at Isaiah 12 and verse 2, right there, okay. When in doubt, let's stand on the scriptures and replace that doubt with trusting and faith. Isaiah 12 and verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. Well, that's really all we need to know right there. You know, behold, God is my salvation. Not just saving my soul, but he's going to deliver me from whatever I'm going through. He will get me through. Behold, God is my salvation. What's my part in this? I will trust. I know he's my salvation, but I got to trust in him. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. So we got to push that fear away. But if we don't replace that fear with something else, that fear is just going to come right back. You know what I mean? It's just going to come right back there. But see, I replaced that fear or that doubting with trust. And I got a whole book of where God has been faithful to a bunch of imperfect people. You know, God keeps his word. Can I get a witness? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength. Not one of them phony baloney gods, not one of them statues made of wood or a fancy rock, maybe even poured a little gold over it, put some necklaces on. Not one of them fake dummy gods, but the one true God, the creator of the universe, is my God. I'm trusting in him. He is my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I like that. He has become my salvation. You know, so we just got to realize that, you know, that there's a lot of avenues. There's a lot of there's a lot of crazy talk out there, and there's a lot of things that shine and glimmer, okay, but they're going to lead you right off a cliff. They're going to be empty in the end, okay? But we have this wonderful, beautiful opportunity. If you have not done it, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you can be brought into this family. You can become royalty. Your eternal salvation can be secure. Let God become your salvation today. If you have not done that today, like I said, you don't have to understand every single thing in this word right now, okay? Well, you're not going to understand everything in this word, on this side of Jordan. Let's just say that right there. But see, you just take that leap of faith. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he was born of a virgin. I believe he died to pay for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, please do it today. Don't put it off another day. Don't think you'll do it on your deathbed. Not everybody's privileged to have a deathbed, you know. Don't put it off. Tomorrow's not promised to you. Amen. You need to do that. So please get with me. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Let's go to the next slide. Luke 24 and verse 28. So they drew near to the village. So this walk goes from like super discouraging to really awesome and exciting. And now these two disciples are nearing their destination. Okay, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if, this is pretty cool right here. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. So look at these verses right here. Jesus, as they were like going off the exit, "This is where we get off, cool man. Man, it was really nice to meet you. What'd you say your name was?" I didn't say what my name was. It was really, you know, they're going off towards the village, and Jesus is acting like he's going to go further, and they're like, "No, man, please come back with us." Have you ever had those relationships with those certain Christians, you know, that like you really love spending time with them? There's just something about it. Okay, that's kind of how I feel about this. They went from being so discouraged to this guy encouraging them. Okay, but also what I really love about what's going on here is Jesus is acting like, well, if they don't ask me to go with them, if they don't want me to go with them, I'm just going to keep on walking. I'll go behind the oak tree and do the old peep, you know, whatever, you know. But he said that if they don't want me to go with them, I'm not going to go with them. And see, that's kind of strange, isn't it? But see, Jesus will let us do it our own way if we want to. It's not going to be fruitful, like the word that Monica said. You know, you can try and do it your own way, but it's not going to produce that kind of fruit, you know. And so anyways, I can back that up. Let's go to another place in Scripture. Okay, look at Mark 6 and verse 48. This is really, really cool. We have a parallel here. Mark 6 and verse 48, we have the disciples on a boat. Everybody look at your neighbor. Never mind. The disciples are on a boat. Jesus said, "Go to the other side of the big old lake. Go on over there." It's like a humongous lake. Well, hours pass by. Jesus is not with them, but Jesus is observing what's going on. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. Can I get a witness? Jesus cares about what you're going through. He is active. Okay, so they're in this huge storm, and they're not getting anywhere. They've been doing this all night long. And see, okay, so here's the verse. And he saw, this is Jesus walking on the water. And he saw that they were making headway painfully. Can anyone relate to that? And he saw that they were making headway painfully. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Walking on the sea, he meant to pass by them. So here's the disciples just, and maybe Peter's barking out orders. Maybe John's saying, "I'm a seasoned sailor," and Judas, "Sit out," and you're shaking the, you know. Who knows what's going on? But if you don't want Jesus' help, he's not going to force himself into the situation. You know what I mean? He wants to be there. okay? But he's not going to, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to be where he's not wanted, okay? But there's Jesus, and he was just going to walk right by him. But they needed him. And then we have this situation where these two disciples are getting off on their exit, and like, hey, come with us, man. And Jesus wasn't going to go with them unless they asked for him, you know? Hey, you know, sometimes guys, and it's hard for guys, you know, but sometimes it's okay to ask for help. Can I get a witness? Sometimes we need to ask for help. Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? In other words, he wants us to want him, you know? He wants us to want him. Okay, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if they were going, as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. Look at Revelation 3 and verse 20. Yeah, Revelation 3 and verse 20. See, Jesus takes this stuff seriously, and he's really not into playing games, but check this out. We all know this verse. Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You've heard that before. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You've seen the paintings or the pictures, and someone's pointed out, see, if you look closely, there's no door handle on the outside. You got to let them in. Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. You know, really, yeah. He wants to do life with us. He wants to show us where he is in the scripture. He wants us to grow in relationship and maturity with us. He wants to give us joy and excitement and anticipation in a hopeless area. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. I'll do life with this guy. I will be there for you. But you got to want me, man. You got to want me, and I'll be there. Amen? And don't we need him? Okay, it's not about do you want him. We need him. We need him, okay? So let's make sure that we want him because we need him, and we cannot do it, not now, we cannot do it without him. Amen? Look at Matthew 11, 28. Same thing. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Remember those disciples in the boat who were painfully not really getting anywhere, you know? Sometimes we get like that in life, man, because we got sucker punched, man. We got blindsided or something really tough and gnarly and unfair. I said gnarly. Gnarly, dude. Something really bad is just, you know, just really taking our breath away. But see, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Sometimes we don't get anywhere. But God says, man, take my yoke, man. All right, come over here to me. Let me shoulder this. Let's do life together. Why don't you put your trust in me? Why don't you remove the fear and the doubt and the anxiety and bring in trust? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't that sound good? Sound wonderful? When you're tired of being stressed out to the max, when you're tired of just being tired, you know, God says, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. Now, sometimes, I'm going to keep moving. Okay. Sometimes we can get bitter. You know, we go through these tough times, these crazy times, and instead of running into God's arms, we can get a little bitter. Can I get a witness? We don't understand what happened, and we don't have to understand, but let's go to what we do understand. You know, let's go to what we do know to be true, right? My God is faithful. My God loves me. My God will never leave me or forsake me. So, instead of getting bitter, which is something that we can do, you know. Look at Hebrews 3 and verse 15. This is a warning, man, from the author of Hebrews. As it is said today, Junior, as it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Okay, so the writer of Hebrews is bringing the reader's attention to what happened in the wilderness to those that rebelled against God, that they had to go through some judgment. Let me say it like this. They missed out on a super huge blessing. Do you want to miss out on a super huge blessing? Do you want to stay where you're at in misery and hopelessness? Because if you want to, all you got to do is not invite them with you. You know? Can I get a witness? Okay. Let's go to the next slide, Clyde. How are we doing? Is everyone all right? Okay. Luke 24:30. When he was at table with them, Okay, a little time's jump. That Jesus goes with them. They still don't know it's Jesus. They don't have a clue, man. They just think this is an awesome guy who really knows a lot of scripture. You know? So now they're at table. It's dinner time. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Maybe it was something he said. Maybe it was how he tore the bread open. Or maybe it was just that time where Jesus said, boom, now you see me. You know, but whatever. He had his reasons for doing that. But now they realize he was with me the whole time. He doesn't leave me or forsake me. Even when everything is just crazy, he's right there. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. He was with them through that hard time. And listen, he sought them out. They didn't have to take him up on it, but he sought them out. He picked up the pace to get close with them, to talk with them, and so they could unload, unburden their heart about what they were going through. You know, that's the God that we serve. He wants to be there in our lives. He wants us to unburden our hurts and receive his peace, strength, and joy. Can I get a witness? And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. He was with them, and beloved, listen. In these crazy days, he is with us. That's not just something you say to make people feel better. Because I'm not into, you know, false hope. I don't want no one to give me false hope. And I don't want to listen to somebody lie to me, you know. And I wouldn't do that. You know, I would. Anyways, moving forward, he's with us this morning. Amen. Look at Isaiah 43 and verse 2. This is good. This is really, really good. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When you pass through the waters... I like this verse, and I've said it a million times, you know, but this should mean something to us. When I pass through the waters, we don't like those Red Sea experiences. We don't like to where we got the enemy coming up behind us and there's a hopeless situation in front of us. You know, we got the Red Sea in front of us. But see, that's when God does his thing, man. When it's all hopeless, God says, no, it ain't hopeless. Not for you. You belong to me. Stand on my promises. Trust in my promises. God can part that Red Sea. You know, I don't like to think about, well, I have to go through these hard times, because that's what God's saying in Isaiah 43 and verse 2. He's saying, you're going to have hard times. Through much tribulation, you got to enter the kingdom. God chastens those he loves. We're going to have difficult times in this world. That's just how this thing works. We live in a fallen world, but God's going to use it for something good. Okay, when you pass through the waters, I like that part, David, when you pass through the waters, I don't like to be facing the Red Sea, okay, but sometimes we got to. And God says, when you pass through, when you get through to the other side, because you will, when you get through to the other side, check this out. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Man, I love that part right there. I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. Are you sure about that? Yeah, stand on God's promises. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. Okay, I'm going to have difficult times, but God is with me, and God is going to get me through. Let that excite us. Can I get a witness? God is with you. God is with you. That's what I'm trying to say. Give the Lord some praise. Verse 32, back to our story. They said to each other, Cleopas and whoever he was with, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? I like that, man. I like that so much, because we can go from being pretty miserable, but getting into the word of God and something happening to us. You know, if we get into the word of God expecting, remember, God wants to be invited to the party, man. God wants to be with us, and he has encouragement for us. He can take your hopeless situation and bring excitement into that situation. Amen. God's word should give us excitement. You know what I mean? And if it doesn't, if God's word doesn't encourage you, then yeah, we got a problem. But if God's word doesn't encourage you, then we're probably not really getting into God's word. But if you don't have a desire to get in God's word, because maybe you felt like you've been let down, or you've just never really had that hunger for the word of God, then pray. Remember, some we have not because we ask not. Pray, God, give me a hunger for this word, man. I don't want to miss out on what you got for me. I need your encouragement. Okay, Psalm 119 and verse 103. Did not our hearts burn? Well, have you ever been in an experience like that to where you were just really, really, really distraught, and then somebody opened scripture somebody shared a verse with you and things begin to change inside because you begin to see the big picture. You get to see it through God's eyes and not your little view. Okay, look at Psalm 119, verse 103, talking about God's word. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't that a beautiful picture, Brother Donnie, of God's word? How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, your words were found. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy. See that? God's word became a joy to me. Is God's word a joy to you? Well, man, you know, I'm trying to tell you, Paul, my life has been really messed up for a while. So no, not really. It's just keeping me afloat. Okay, that's a start, man. Okay, because he's not going to leave you or forsake you. But dig into that word and stand on God's promises and let him do his thing. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. See, a lot of times, you know, with folks that aren't really going through a big, crazy storm right now, a lot of times we got other things that are our delight. We got other things that are our joy. I'm having trouble saying that. But we have idols in our lives, you know, things that are kind of pulling us in that other direction. Can I get a witness? You know what I mean? But God says, hey, let me be that joy. Let me be that delight. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words become to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Does that mean anything to you guys? That you have been handpicked by God? That you have been handpicked by the one true God to be in this family? And he said, you're not just in the family, but here you go. Take Paul's cell phone. No, here you go. Here's the manual. Get into this. When all hope is lost, get into this. Get with a brother. Get with someone that can encourage you. Let some iron sharpen iron. Give them the sacrifice of praise when you don't even feel like it. Praise the Most High God. Praise him. There's always a reason to praise him. Praise him. Get into the word. Pray. Do these things and let God change everything that's going around you or either change you. Can I get a witness? All right, let's go to the next slide, beloved. And they rose that same hour, Luke 24:33. They realized, man, this was Jesus. This was Jesus. And remember, this was late in the evening, and they begged this guy to come with them. Like, it's not safe to travel at night. You don't need to be on the road. Come talk with us, you know. And so they had done went through this huge journey and everything that had happened over the last few days. But man, as soon as they realized what had happened, they weren't tired anymore. They're like, man, we got to go back and tell the disciples. They didn't know. They knew that the women had seen an empty tomb. They knew that was going on, but that wasn't weighty enough or evidence enough to keep them in Jerusalem. They're like, this is just crazy. We're gone. I'm not going to be part of no charade. They didn't know that Jesus had already made an appearance to these guys, you know, but they know this. They know that he made an appearance to these two guys. So anywho, and they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11, not the 12, because remember Judas ain't with them no more. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Now this is actually pretty cool and pretty interesting. These two disciples get up. They head back into town. Like, come on, Cleopas, let's go. All right, man. So they're heading back into Jerusalem, right back down the road. And as they finally get to where the other apostles are, the disciples are, they burst in the room. They burst in the room, but they get in the room. And you ever had this happen? You got something really, really important that you want to tell these people. That's why I just came here to tell you this. But as you walk in the door, they're like, hey, man, you guys missed it, man. Jesus is totally alive. He already appeared to Peter. You know, and they don't even get a chance to talk yet. But then they're like, yes, dude, Peter, we know. We saw him ourselves. Just really cool, right? Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. See, what I like about this part right here is when God does something in us, when God does something, when we get that excitement, we're not supposed to, when we get that truth, when we get that hope, when we get that awesomeness of Scripture, we're not supposed to hide it under a bushel. We're not supposed to hide it under a table. We're not supposed to do that. We're to be a conduit of what God has blessed us with. You know what I mean? We're supposed to share that. These guys couldn't wait till the next day. They said, man, we got to go find the apostles. Like I said, they didn't know that Simon had already seen the risen Savior. They didn't know that. But they're like, those guys are hurting, and we're not hurting anymore. I've got to share this with them. And we've got to share this with them. And so they rush back, you know. We can't hide this awesomeness. We got to share this awesomeness. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts. This is Psalm 71:15. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts. I'm not a preacher. Huh? Listen, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts. We're all called to be ministers. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. I like how the psalmist says that. All day long, man. You have just changed my life. You've given my life meaning, you know. I'm not like that person I used to be, man. There's been a change in me, and I can't help but to spread this awesomeness. I can't help but to let this overflow and be a blessing and tell other people about what's happened in my life. You know, one of my friends, man, and she's part of this church, she comes here, excuse me. Hello? No, I'm actually preaching. Let me call you back, brother. I thought I silenced it, Mama. I promise. Okay, so you know, I got this friend, a sweetheart of a friend, and her life has been changed. We've all been around her for the last 3 years or so, and she went from. She's not perfect. I ain't perfect. Ain't none of us perfect. She's got a long way to go. Look at your neighbor and say, we got a long way to go. You know what I mean? We got a long way to go. But see, the thing about this young lady is she knows that she went from death to life. She knows that she was bound in slavery to some stuff, and she knows that she's been delivered from that. And so today, she's just like these guys that had to rush and share the good news. She's out there on the beach, man, sharing the good news of how God changed her life with people right now. And see, that's how we're supposed to be, man. If something really happened to us, if there's something exciting in us, don't hide it. You know, spread it. Don't hide it. Amen, right? All right, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. I don't even know how many amazing things you've done in my life. I can't keep track. I don't always understand it. But one thing I'm going to do is spread it. And I like, in closing, I like how, you know, they come together. They came together. They come together to encourage one another. You know, we got to do that, guys. Don't do it alone, okay? You see one of your brothers going through something, pray for them. But you don't just pray for them. If you can do something for them, do something for them. Well, I don't know how to talk about that situation, okay? And just be there. You know, put like Jesus, who inserts himself into our painful situations, let Jesus use you to be that blessing to other people as these two disciples rush back and want to bring joy to the other 11 disciples. And as they gather together, look at Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. And, you know, so we just went through this COVID stuff. And so a lot of people haven't, this is what I hear. I mean, we're doing really, really good here. But what I hear is a lot of churches are in pretty bad shape because, like, a lot of people never came back from the whole COVID thing. All right. Well, I don't have an opinion on that. Well, I do, but I'm not going to share here. But see, when our world gets crazier, we need to come together more often, you know? Not neglecting to meet together as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another. See, that's why we come together, to encourage one another. When we live in a world where nobody really sees things your way, you know, we come together with other people that have the same worldview, that love Jesus Christ, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day drawing near. The days are evil, but God is faithful. You know, so these guys, two apostles, their world just got lit up, man. They just had this amazing breakthrough. They just got to see Jesus Christ in the flesh, the resurrected Son of God. In their life, their world will never be the same. You know, all these early church disciples, most of them become martyrs. Tons of them become martyrs because they won't deny Jesus Christ. Why? Because they knew. I saw them, man. We were breaking bread with Jesus. And plus, in our next verse, which we're not going to get to, Jesus appears to these disciples altogether. But I just want to encourage you guys, man, through the Word of God, to get into the Word of God. You know, that's where the peace is. That's where the joy is. And encourage one another. Amen. Look, stick together through this nonsense. God is faithful. Dear Lord, we just love you and we praise you, Lord. You are everything to us. Thank you for being so good and merciful and gracious to us. We love you and we praise you, Lord. Let us be about your business. Let us be brave and bold and not fearful because we know that you're with us. We love you and praise you. Thank you for healing our hurts, healing our hearts, and just encouraging us and blessing us and giving us joy. And let us seek you with our whole hearts. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. So 5 p.m. tonight, Brother Dalton has the thing going on right now.